Mother Mary appeared to an innocent black man who was condemned to die in the electric chair. Stay tuned for this incredible story.
This program is dedicated to help you achieve peace of mind and soul in these troubling times, in these last days before that glorious day when Jesus Christ returns. Now, here is your moderator, Gary Wolscheid.
We go to the Book of Life and Love, the Bible. We turn to St. Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Now this covers part of the crucifixion of our Lord. Quote, "Now one of these robbers who were hanged was abusing him, saying, If thou art the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other in answer rebuked him and said, Dost not even thou fear God, seeing that thou art under the same sentence? And we, indeed, justly, for we are receiving what our deeds deserved. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What we are about to share with you is a true story. A parish priest received a phone call from a prison stating a prisoner had been asking for a priest all night and wanted to see one very urgently. The story will pick up now as Father O'Leary is visiting the prison. He tells of the terrible struggle he had in making this visit.
While on my way, I was totally unconscious of the fact that I had become violently angry. And people who heard me and who saw me said that I knew words that they didn't think I ever knew, and that I was like a demon from the lower regions, the way I was behaving. I got to the jail and said, where is that one who wants me? When I was brought up to him, he said to me, are you a Catholic priest? At that moment, all the anger and all the violence in me left me. Claude Newman, who was the prisoner, told me later on that the Blessed Mother said that this was exactly how I would come, that the devil would try to stop me, and that he would try to scandalize and drive Claude away. After I talked to them a while, they wanted instructions. There were four other men in the cell block. Claude told me exactly what happened the night before. He said that the five men were around talking. They ran out of conversation, and he saw a medal on a string around another prisoner's neck. He asked what it was, and the Catholic boy told him that it was a medal. He said, what is a medal? And the Catholic boy could not explain what a medal was and its purpose. In anger, the Catholic snatched the medal from off his own neck and threw it on the floor at Claude's feet with a curse, telling him to take the so-and-so thing. Claude called for a trustee, got a piece of string, and tied it around his own neck. To him, it was only a bauble, a trinket. And during the night, sleeping on top of his cot, just in his underclothes, he awakened with a touch on his wrist. And there stood, as he told me, the most beautiful woman that God ever created. He was scared at first, thinking that because he was black and she was white, that this was a trap to accuse him of trying to rape a white woman, and that he would be burned alive instead of being brought to the electric chair eventually. She calmed him, and then she said to him, if you would like me to be your mother, and you would like to be my child, send for a priest of the Catholic Church. And with that, she disappeared. If Claude had been shaken before, he was now terrified. He screamed a haunt, meaning a ghost, and fled to the cell of one of the other prisoners. All night long he kept screaming he wanted a priest, he wanted a priest. While Claude told me all this, I listened to him, but I didn't believe him. The other prisoners told me that everything was true except they didn't know anything about the vision. But they did want catechisms, so I promised to come back and bring them to them. On my way downstairs, I stopped off to see the jailer whom I had scandalized on my way up, not even knowing at all that I had scandalized him. And I asked him how his family was, and he said, "Oh, you're calm and rational. You're not as crazy as you were going upstairs." He said, "And boy," he said, "Father, you know words I didn't think anybody knew." I went home very humiliated and very much ashamed of myself. I told Father Francis, the pastor, what had happened. The next day I went back with the catechisms. And then I found that Claude Newman could not read or write a word. The only time he could tell if a book was upright was if there was a picture there. He had never been one single day in a classroom in his life. And as his ignorance of human knowledge was so deep, his ignorance of religion was even deeper. He knew nothing at all about religion. He did not know who Jesus was. He did not know anything except that there was a God, period. Well, we began the instructions. And the prisoners helped Claude. And after a few days of giving instructions, Sister Michaeline and Sister Benna, two of the teachers in our school, asked if they could come to the jail. They wanted to see Claude. They also wanted to see the women in the jail. And Sheriff Williamson gave permission. And so the sisters began going to the jail and giving instructions to the women, while I went upstairs and gave instructions to the men. Several weeks passed, and it came time where I was going to begin instructions on the sacrament of penance. And just before I was going to start, the two sisters finished their classes downstairs and got permission to go upstairs. The trustee put two chairs outside the cell block for them, and one sat on each side of me. And I said to them, "Boys, we're going to start talking about the sacrament of confession, of penance." And Claude said to me, "Oh, I know that." He said, "She told me that when we go to confession, we are kneeling down, not before a priest, but we're kneeling down by the cross of her son. And that when we are truly sorry for our sins, and we confess our sins, the blood he shed flows down over us and washes us free from our sins." Well, the sisters and I sat there with our mouths wide open. And Claude took it that we were angry. And he said to me, "Oh, don't be angry, don't be angry. I didn't mean to blurt it out." I said, "I'm not angry, I'm just amazed. You have seen her again?" He said, "Come around the cell block away from the others." And so I did. And he said to me, "She told me that if you doubted me or showed hesitancy, I was to remind you that lying in a ditch in Holland in 1940, you made a vow to her which she's still waiting for you to keep." And he told me exactly what the vow was. Needless to say, I was converted. We went back, and Claude kept telling the other fellows, "You should not be afraid to go to confession. You're really telling God your sins, not this priest or any other priest. We're telling God our sins." He said, "You know, she said something like a telephone. We talk through the priest to God, and God talks back to us through the priest." So, about a week later, we were going to take and speak about the Blessed Sacrament. And Claude said, "Well, you won't get angry with me, will you?" I said, "No." And the sisters were there too. He said, "Well," he said, "communion. In communion, I will only see what looks like a piece of bread. But she told me that that is really and truly her son, and that he will be with me just for a few moments, as he was with her before he was born in Bethlehem, and that I should spend my time like she did in all her time with him, loving him, adoring him, thanking him, praising him, and asking him for the blessings. I shouldn't be bothered about anybody else or anything else, but I should spend my 2 or 3 minutes with him. I said, well, Claude, there's nothing I can add to that. I said, it's perfect, you know? So, time went on, we finished the instructions, and the day came when Claude was to be executed. He was to be executed at 12:05. The sheriff asked him, Claude, you have a privilege of a last request. What do you want? He said, well, he said, Sheriff, he said, you're all shook up. The jailer is all shook up. But he said, you don't understand. I'm not going to die, just this body. I'm going to be with her. So can I have a party? And the sheriff said, well, what do you mean by a party? He said, well, will you give Father permission to bring in some cakes and some ice cream? And will you allow the prisoners on the second floor to be all turned loose into the main center of the room so that we can all be together and have a party? And the sheriff said, yeah, but somebody might attack Father. He said, oh, no, nobody will attack. Will you, fellas? And everybody said no. So I went down the street to a Mrs. Morrissey, who was the Dowager Queen of Vicksburg at that time, one of the richest ladies in town. And she sent up 10 gallons of ice cream and 5 or 6 large cakes. And that night at 7:00 in the evening, we had our party. And after the party, because Claude had requested it, I had brought prayer books from the church. And we said the Stations of the Cross, and we had a holy hour without the Blessed Sacrament being present. Then I put the men back in their cells, and the door to the lower floor was opened, and I was able to go down. I went to the church to get the Blessed Sacrament because I could only give Claude communion after midnight. That was in the old days, 1944 now. I came back, and I had the Blessed Sacrament with me, and Claude knelt on one side of the bars and I on the other, and we prayed together. 15 minutes before the execution was to take place, the sheriff came running up the stairs, and he said, reprieve, reprieve. The governor has given a 2-week reprieve. Claude, we're still trying to save you. Up to this time, Claude did not know that Sheriff Williamson and Mr. Bill Vower, a district attorney, were trying to save his life. Claude broke down. We thought it was a reaction from the fact that he was not going to die. And he said, oh, you men don't know, and Father, you don't know. If you ever looked into her face and looked into her eyes, you wouldn't want to live another day. What have I done wrong in these past weeks that God would take and refuse me my going home? And I say he sobbed absolutely like a broken-hearted person. The sheriff went away, and I stayed there. And I said to him, Claude, it's after midnight. Let me give you communion. He received communion, quieted down. And then he said to me, why? Why must I still remain here for 2 weeks? And without any thought, I said to him, well, Claude, now you know that white prisoner over there who hates you so much. Of all the people up here, he hates you more than he hates any other black person. Maybe our Blessed Mother wants you to offer this denial of being with her for his conversion. And he said, what would that be? I said, well, why don't you take an offer to God every moment you're still separated from her, for him, that he will not be separated from God for all eternity. He quieted down. I left my crucifix with him, that one. And I went home. I came back later that day in the afternoon. Claude was very quiet and calm. He gave me back my crucifix. And he said, yes, he said, I'm going to pray for him. But he said, I have news for you. I said, what? He said, that man hated me before. But, oh, Father, how he hates me now. I said, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. 2 weeks passed, and Claude went to his death. I've never seen anybody go to death as joyfully and as happy. Even the official witnesses and the newspaper reporters were amazed. They said they couldn't understand how anybody could go and sit in the electric chair, actually beaming with happiness. And his last words to me were, "Father, I will remember you, and whenever you have a request, ask me, and I will ask her." All right. 2 months later, the white man was to be executed. Let me fill you in on him. This man had left his wife. He had 2 sons and 2 daughters. He took the children with him. They were teenagers. And he was hiding out in Warren County. When his wife discovered where he was, trying to get the girls back, she had deputies sent out to get them. And this man killed one deputy and seriously wounded another. He was taken in and arrested. With his older daughter, he had a child by her. And when he was arrested, he had a child on the way by her, a second one. His oldest son had a child by his sister on the way. That shows you the high standard of morality of this family. This man was the filthiest, most immoral person I've ever come across. His hatred for God, his hatred for everything spiritual, defies description. Well, the time came for his execution. Dr. Podesta, who was the county doctor, pleaded with them to at least kneel down and say the Our Father before the sheriff would come for him. And he spit in the doctor's face. They manacled him, dragged him down to the chair, and in the chair, the sheriff said to him, "If you have something to say, say it now." And he started to blaspheme. All of a sudden, he stopped and he looked up towards a corner. And his face was one of absolute horror. And he said, "Oh, Sheriff, get me a priest." I happened to be in the room because the law required a clergyman. I was hiding behind 2 deputies and a newspaper reporter because this man said he would curse God if he saw a clergyman at all. Now he was calling for a priest. I was reading the prayer book, and one of the deputies turned around and said, "Father, he's calling for a priest." I stepped out and I said, "Here I am." He said, "Father, hear my confession. I'm a Catholic." He had been raised in a Catholic home until he was 18. And then because of his immorality and his refusal to convert and behave himself, he was refused absolution by a priest, justifiably so. And he left the church with hatred. The sheriff cleaned the room out, and I heard his confession. I stood by the side of the chair. He confessed all of his sins, and I gave him absolution. I signaled for the sheriff and the others to come back. When they came back, Sheriff Williamson, devout Episcopalian that he was, said, "Father, what changed that guy's mind?" And I said, "I don't know. I didn't ask him." He said, "Well, I'll never sleep if I don't." And he said, "Son, what changed your mind?" And this man said, "Well, Sheriff, you remember that black man that I hated so much?" The sheriff said, "Yes." He said, "Well, he's standing still over there in that corner. And behind him, with one hand on each shoulder, is the Blessed Mother. And Claude said to me, I offered my death in union with Christ on the cross for your salvation. She has obtained for you this gift. See your place in hell if you don't repent." And that was when he screamed. Well, the execution took place. The sheriff said to me, "I wonder, what do you mean by I offer my death with Christ on the cross?" I said, "Well, Sheriff, there were only 2 people who knew this." I said, "Claude Newman and myself." Just before his execution, I said, he came to me and he said, "The Blessed Mother wants me to offer my death in union with her son. Will you help me say the right words?" And I said, kneeling side by side, I said, by the bars, we made that offering of his life and his death in union with Christ on the cross for the salvation of that man. And I said, Claude and Mary came to tell that man he was saved. We must never underestimate the power of Mary. Just before Claude's death, he asked me that I would be sure that he was given a decent and Christian burial. I took the body to church and buried him over the protests of many people. You see, many people in the South in those days had the idea that if you died in an execution, that you were absolutely condemned to hell, and they couldn't understand why his body was brought to a Catholic church. We buried him with honor. We took the body to the cemetery, and as he requested, I ordered a stone to be made. It took about 10 days to make the stone, and when it was made, we went to the cemetery and could no longer find the grave. With bulldozers, the cemetery people had bulldozed a hill down behind Claude and had covered his grave under approximately 15 to 20 feet of earth. And so, to this day, we've never been able to find it. I guess maybe the Blessed Mother didn't want us to.
Was Claude actually innocent of the crime that he was condemned to death for?
Claude was condemned to death for murder. When Claude was 17, he married a young girl who was also 17. And now the murder took place when Claude was approaching his 19th birthday. He was out in the fields plowing, and a young boy came running out to him and said, Claude, your wife is screaming for you. Claude left the reins of the mules with the boy and he ran for home. As he approached the cabin, he heard his wife screaming. Going into the house, he picked up a double-bladed axe, and there he found a man in the act of raping his wife. Claude split his head open and pulled the body from his wife. When he turned the body over, he saw that it was the favorite employee of his master in the plantation. And also, this man was his grandmother's boyfriend. Claude fled to Helena, Arkansas. And his grandmother, finding out where he was, told the police how to find him. I said that there had been a reprieve. The sheriff and an attorney, Mr. Voller, tried to get Claude released because they said it was justifiable homicide, but the governor wouldn't listen. The governor was listening only to this rich and important planter.
This is a very touching story. We ask Claude Newman to pray for us so that we too can someday be with Jesus and the most beautiful woman that God ever created, Mary.
You're listening to These Last Days radio broadcast in the last days before that glorious day when Jesus Christ returns to the earth. We have a book available titled Our Lady of the Roses, Mary Help of Mothers. It's 9 by 12 and has 168 pages. It is a book that is cherished by thousands. It tells the Bayside story, the miracles, the cures, and the conversions. It tells of Satan's snare set for you and me in these last days. This is one book you won't want to pass up. It costs just $7 and can be ordered from These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331.
If you would like to have a cassette tape of the Claude Newman story, just send a donation of $5 or more to These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331. Now we have the latest news from Bayside, from Veronica Lucan's personal secretary, Mrs. Ann Ferguson.
Hello, Gary. It's a pleasure to speak to you and your listeners again. Well, dear Veronica, she's still weak from the effects of that flu virus. So please continue to pray for her. Now, Gary, you know, one of our workers for Our Lady Shrine, he operates a ham radio. And his name is Joseph Spadaro from Brooklyn, New York. Now, for the past 3.5 years, he has been spreading the message from heaven over his ham radio. And he said there are 500,000 licensed amateur radio operators throughout the United States. And Mr. Spadaro, he sent out OSL cards with on the card. he sends to the stations he contacts. And on the front of the OSL card is a picture of Our Lady of the Roses. And on the back of the card is a brief introduction to Bayside, and this includes the shrine address. Now, he sent me numerous copies of letters that he has received as a result of sending out these cards. And I'll just read. I only have time to read a few. And the first one is, Dear Joe, I received your card with the Bayside information. Thank you very much. I sent a donation and a request to the Bayside for more information. Also, I am going to ask all the Catholics in my ham radio club if they would like to join me in ordering the Bayside OSL cards from the same print shop where you had yours printed. And that's from Detroit, Michigan. Now I have one here from Troy, New York. It says, Dear Joe, thanks for the beautiful OSL card. Being a Catholic myself, I find your card very informative about something that I am not familiar with. I intend to write to Bayside to learn more about Our Lady of the Roses apparitions. And I have another one here from Rhode Island. Dear Joe, many thanks for the OSL card. I am a Catholic and have heard of all the apparitions, but I've never heard of this apparition. I am interested in this and will write to the shrine.
Thank you, Mrs. Ferguson, for sharing those inspiring letters with us. The next Bayside prayer vigils will be on March 18th, March 24th, and March 26th. In closing, be sure to order the cassette tape of the Claude Newman story for a donation of $5 or more. In this story, Claude picked up a medal which was cast away by another prisoner. This medal was probably the miraculous medal of Our Lady. We have these medals. If you would like one, write These Last Days, and we'll mail it to you free. Be sure to join us next week as we continue the message from heaven. Until then, may Jesus and Mary richly bless you.
You've been listening to These Last Days broadcast. We hope this program has been a blessing to you. We ask you to invite your family, friends, and relatives to join us next week at this time. We plead for your prayers that many will listen to this program and save their souls. Many miracles have occurred through Our Lady of the Roses medal and rose petals, blessed by Jesus and Mary at Bayside. You may obtain these without cost by writing These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331. The written messages are available free upon request. Your financial support is urgently needed to ensure this broadcast continues to be heard on this station. It will greatly encourage us in our ministry to hear from you. Please mention the call letters of this station when you write. Again, our mailing address is These Last Days, Lowell, Michigan, 49331.